This evening, I would like to share with us a very brief message that I believe we need just to remind ourselves of what it is. Everything has been explained to us through the skits, the songs, and what the children have presented to us. So I would like you just to give us about 10 minutes, at most 15, and we should be through and continue our fellowship outside there. Praise the Lord. I want us to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. From here, I can still hear people flipping through their Bibles. I hope all of us are there. If you are there, say amen. Okay, very few. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for that. The Bible says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 21, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Because he will save his people from their sins. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We pray, Jehovah God, as you share with us, as you speak to us through your word, touch every part of our lives that you so desire to change. Each one of us, O Lord, that we may rest in your peace and we may stand in your presence with a clean heart once again. Thank you for washing our sins away. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I am aware that this season means so many things and so different things to many of us. Among us seated here now, there are people looking forward to the next 19 days, and in their heart, and as is common practice to them, they will say, "This is the time to be with my family." So they don't want you to disturb them at all. There is another group of people who believe after 19 days from now, those 2 days mean away from other people around and just being alone. There's a group of people who believe it is a time to make good purchases. So there will be a lot of shopping around. There's also another group of people amongst us who believe it's a time to have the best meal of the year. There is also another group of people who believe it's time to travel. I have no problem with any of those people. I believe it is your right to celebrate this time in whichever manner you so desire. But at the back of your mind, you must be reminded of the message that we have been receiving this evening. Why did the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, decide to send his only begotten son? Was it so that I have a good time at such a time? Was it for the reason of making sales around the world? There's going to be a booming business all around the world. Even people who have never been to church, they know what Christmas season is like. But that's not the reason why God had to spare his only son for us. There is a deeper meaning to God having to sacrifice his son to the world. He would have chosen a mighty angel in heaven and said, "You go and represent me on the world." But instead, he decided, "I'm going to choose the very best that I have, the only and the very best that I have to offer to the world." And so that is the reason why I want us to reflect over this. We may have known the reason why, but it's good always to go back and reflect over what you know, because that makes it to be entrenched in your system. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Remember in Matthew, the angel is telling Joseph not to leave Mary, because the child that Mary is carrying is meant to save the world from its sins. And I know there are some of us who are moralists. I've got very high standards of morals. They are wondering, what kind of wrong have I done in my life? They look back into their life, they don't see anything wrong. You do well. There are other people who look back and say, "I'm not like so and so. I've never done what so and so has done." And that's fine. It's good. We say congratulations. But my worry is, what does God say about me? It's not what people say. It's not what I say about myself. It is what God says about me. And he says, all of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. On that basis alone, I need to seek to understand why and what Christ really did by coming. Why did he have to forsake his throne and come to be with us? The moralists among us will say, "I've kept all the laws," like one young man who told Jesus, "I've kept all the laws." But the Bible says in James 2:10, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it." Then I ask you, have you been able to be faithful all through? Yes, the 99% you are okay, we know. But what about the 1% that you have failed? Doesn't it disqualify you according to James 2:10? It says, even if you have kept right all the laws, you have lived uprightly all through. Everybody is full of praise that you are an upright person. You are a righteous person. But deep within, you know there is a place where you have failed. Doesn't the Bible now disqualify you? It says, if you just stumble at one point, you are guilty of breaking all the law. And as we go through the Bible, in the book of Psalms 51, the Bible also says this. There's one man that God loved so much. His name is David, and he says, "Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me." Some version says, I was conceived in sin. That means the word of God still condemns us, irrespective of our moral standards, irrespective of where we stand in the society. The word of God still says, we are all sinners. We have sinned, not because of commission of sin, but because that is the nature of our lives as human beings. We were born in sin. There is a nature of sin that abides within us. And for that reason, we qualify. Well, the Bible continues to say again, The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's Romans 8, 7 to 8. So now I look at myself and wonder, if my mindset, my nature condemns me, it tells me I'm a sinner. It sets me aside as a sinner. The Bible says I've been born in sin. And the same Bible says that I am part of the all who have fallen short of the glory of God. Do I have an excuse? Do I have a reason to explain my life out? Or do I have some other way to go about it? Again, the same Bible says in Isaiah 53, 6, it says this: we all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Jesus was not just born. He was born for a reason. And some of the skits demonstrated that finally, to accomplish his mission, he had to be crucified. And that is the punishment that he took on our behalf. Somebody's wondering, now that the Bible has condemned me to be a sinner, now that the Bible has said that I've strayed, I've gone on my own way, what is my way out? There is a man who wrote much of the Bible, most of the letters in the Bible. He also went through the same question you are going through. He felt condemned. And no matter what he tried, things were not working well with him. I'd like us to look at Romans 7, 19 onwards. It says, for the good that I would do, For the good that I would do not. That which I wish to do, I know it is right deep within. I know that it is not him. It is something within him. The nature of sin in which we were born, in which we were conceived. To the law of sin which is in my members. Reflect over our lives, and we fail, we find we have failed over and over. But the execution of that will lacked. So there is a force that brings us to the reasons why Jesus came. The young lady, they are studying the Bible in the house with the family, trying to do that. You have a decision to make. You have a responsibility over the life that God has given you. And so you must make the right decision. His death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. Did you hear that properly? Did you hear that? There is a man, there is a person, the devil. He has got certain power over your life as a human being. For as long as you are not in Christ, for as long as you have not yielded yourself to God, he reigns over you. You can struggle and say, I don't obey him. But you find yourself doing things that you do not want to do because there is a power that is exercising over you. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2:14, because you are flesh and blood and subject to this power, God decided to give his son the same body, blood and flesh like you. And that is why he was born of Mary, so that this flesh and blood, the power that rests inside, will be destroyed by the same Son of God. He would have landed on earth and declared that he's forgiving you. But there is a power in the flesh that you hold that must be destroyed by Jesus Christ so that you may live right before God. Number two, he came to free those who all their lives, he came to free all, that's verse 15. He came to free all those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. A slave does not do what he wants to do. He's compelled to do certain things, even if he doesn't like, by the owner. If we allow ourselves to remain slaves of sin, we will find ourselves tied into sin. No matter what our decisions are, no matter what our position is, we will find ourselves tied to sin. But Jesus came to free us all from that. Verse 17. For this reason, he had to be made like them, like me and you. Jesus had to be made like you and me. Fully human in every way. In order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make an atonement for the sins of us people. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is taking up the flesh of man, not because that's the best house that he could have, no. It's for your sake, so that he may destroy the power of sin in us, our nature of sin to be destroyed. Verse 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Praise the Lord. Are you always tempted? Do you find yourself failing? Then Jesus has come that he may set us free and help us out of our failure. The primary failure in the human life is the failure to make a decision to surrender our lives to God. When you fail to make that primary decision, you actually pave a way for the enemy, for the devil, to take control of your life. It is my desire this evening to introduce you to this man, Jesus Christ. We always celebrate him in the manger, but he's alive. He's no longer that small baby. He grew up into a mature person and destroyed the works of the enemy in our flesh, so that now we have no excuse but to live holy in him. I want us to stand up as Pastor comes to conclude. Stand up. If there is any of you who feels that you would like to make a decision to walk with Christ and be victorious, please. We will be outside here to share with you the little that we know about him and introduce you to him. God bless you. The choir, I think.